but I would always defer to the portfolio holder if you have an eye.
You guys ready?
Yep, we are ready. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culker meeting in the Capitol today, 12th floor, for a work session. It's approximately 11 a.m. on case number GE11-51. We've had numerous work sessions on this. We've had closed sessions on this to talk legal strategy. I guess my thoughts today is I had a couple of questions I wanted to bounce off Sue and Alana that were certainly not any type of legal questions because those should be in a closed meeting. Well, they should be. We should not be. My general counsel's giving me the look. But I guess my goal of this work session is I don't intend it to be very long, but I wanted some questions I wanted to ask them in the presence of my colleagues. So that's kind of what my hope was today. I'll turn over to my colleague, Commissioner Crispin, its portfolio holder, for what you'd like to get out of this work session.
I've worked long and hard on this, as has our staff, and especially Sue as the director and our inspectors. But at this point, I guess I'm ready to move forward. We basically have two options here, and, you know, it's definitely going to be a legal sticky situation regardless which way we go, whether or not we pay the claimants who had their grain delivered before the bond was in effect. And so I think, I don't know if Commissioner Fedorchik has any opening comments, but at that point, if we could have Sue just kind of update us on where we're at. My understanding is we have both options prepared and are kind of ready to go. A matter for the commission to decide which one we believe is correct. I know in my mind where I'm at on it, but I would let, after opening comments, let Sue update us on just where we're at with being ready in either event, and then I'll make my comments as far as what I think.
Okay, I would just say that I think that's where we have to be careful, that when we start talking legal strategy, we don't want it to be in an open meeting. Is that correct, General Counsel?
Hi, it's Alana. We have open meetings where you get legal advice and legal information about your job as commissioners and the things you decide at an open meeting all the time. The exception is for litigation discussions, and there are piece parts of this case that are in litigation or were in litigation. Nothing much has happened lately.
You'll tell us if we cross that threshold or we should be in a closed session?
Yes. I do think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sue, but in an insolvency, in a normal average insolvency, where your director or your attorney is sitting and telling you why a report was written this way or that way, it's probably been at a public meeting.
Okay.
For example, all these claims were people that delivered to Minnesota or something. You know, that'd be a legal analysis, but at an open meeting, not related to the litigation, for example, of like the Anderson Seed claims in litigation. So there's a slight difference there, legal advice to you in your duties versus legal discussion of litigation issues.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchik, I've given you a chance to talk.
I don't have any comments at this point.
Okay. I just wanted to, you gave out both copies of the pay some, pay all. And I just had a couple procedural questions, if you, my colleagues don't mind indulging me a little bit. To start off with the motion, why do we have the statement in the pay some arising during the period in which the bond was effective in that motion? Wouldn't that be implied? And why? Because it's in one but not the other. It just seems to me that they should both be the same. If we're going to have an order that we believe it's effective.
Take this one, because I made you do it. Yes, normally they would be exactly the same, but a question came up over the last 2 weeks, from Commissioner Fedor, like, can we tell the difference in the two motions? So we put it in just to tell the difference. If you were to agree at the work session ahead of time which motion you're using, they could be exactly the same. We just normally say, I move the commission file a report.
I guess then that'll become the decision of whoever moves their motion forward. They'll pick what language they want. I just wanted to ask that question.
Yes, and I think if there were a substitute motion or something, you might want it to show a difference. But you're right with your gut instinct there.
All right, fair enough. And then moving to, let's jump ahead here, because I really kind of looked through them, and you know, I didn't see any changes until page 2, everything looked the same. And please tell me if I missed something that was a difference, but page 2 on both looked the same. Page 3 on both looked the same. Okay, page 4, I believe that's just more of a formatting. On the one that pays some, it claimant filed amount was 2 lines, and on the what I'm getting at is those numbers appeared to be the same. I just wanted to double check with that.
This space is missing on that.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then we go in forward to page 5, number 17 on pay some. The commission's review of files claim disclosed Mitchell Feeds purchased a significant amount of grain prior to obtaining a surety bond and obtaining a Ruben grain license. Okay. So why would that be in the one pay some and not the others? Why wouldn't there be a paragraph that it seems to me, and I'll put this right out there, is that we're kind of already favoring one order or the other with more detail?
Well, I believe the reason it's in the pay some and not the pay all is we just wanted to point out that there are some claims, to put emphasis on the fact that there are some claims that were filed prior to the bond being in place. There's no reason it couldn't be in here, but I don't think if we put it in the pay all, I don't know that you would want to point out that there were claims that were filed before the bond was in place in the license application.
See, that's where we get at the legal argument that I think that if you're going to go the other way, and I have not made a decision, okay, if you're going to go the other way, you put the claims up there and why you think they should be paid. I mean, I think you have to develop a strategy that if you're going to go route B, pay all, you've got to have a good argument to diffuse the things that might be obviously someone would challenge.
Commissioner, yes, and I didn't because I thought it was, and this is the way I drafted them, I thought that it was simply kind of drawing attention to things that we would not normally draw attention to necessarily. Knowing that you know you have this question in your mind, you're thinking, where's the rationale? But normally you're just going to do a report. Here's the claims and here's why we're offsetting or not offsetting. And so in the pay-all one, we were just not drawing attention to this because here's all our claims and here's the ones we're offsetting, you know, for whatever reason. It's not so much a litigation strategy. It was more, and well, you can put it in. We can certainly put it in. But we don't have a habit of putting in every possible other argument in any report and then why we didn't do it.
I think, too, it's only a factor in the one.
Yeah, in the one where you're disallowing.
I'm asking the questions.
Yes, yes, it's the basis for disallowing in the one.
Okay. All right, and then we go to page 6.
But to that point, though, you do cover it pay some, right? On page 6,
yes.
Number 20, you do kind of cover it there too. So if you wanted to take out 17, you could do that and maybe even just expand or combine those two.
Yes.
Well, and it says in page 7 and paragraph 20 where we say the commission does not recommend paying all claims that arose before the effective date of the bond.
So yeah, you could take it out if you wanted them right up to the end to be pretty close to the same. That's fine.
I don't
that
feel
was
strongly
the first about it, place where we actually put something into the report that offset or brought attention to the fact that there were some claims that arose prior to the bond date, the effective bond date.
I'm not disagreeing. I just want to go through.
I think, too, if that's in there, as someone reads it, and gets to number 18 and is reading what the century code says about all this, and gets to number 19 about what the dollar amounts are that we're considering valid, that is then in their head that, okay, that is a factor why a bunch of these are out. And so I think it does help the readability, although it does throw the numbering off.
The numbering is only going to matter for the comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll only be putting one of them forward anyways.
Right.
So.
Okay, then I just had some questions about, maybe it was just my not understanding exactly, but the one that pay all, or pay some, you have the numbers, like 19, you say 388,000, and the other ones, the pay all, you're talking more percentage. I'm just curious why one you use percentage and one you use numbers. Is it just, is there a difference why that was broken out differently?
Well, we get to the numbers later on, just at a different point. And I think we tried to follow the language in the pay all is what you generally would see. We talk about the bonds, and then we talk
percentage.
About the percent that's right. available, and then we go into what is about the, you know, this is what we're recommending payment for. But it, we thought it flowed better to talk about the bond and then show what is recommended payment for and where we are recommending that you not pay. And then after you know what the recommended amounts are, then you would identify what the percent is.
My question was, is though, if we're saying that in the order that says pay some, why do we, after we make the statement that some claims were filed before the bond, why do we continue to talk about invalid claims? Why don't we just talk about the valid claims?
That's it. That, there's nothing sacred there. That's a standard format where we show, okay. because I thought a judge would find it helpful who hasn't looked at this at all yep. yet. Okay, here's everybody who filed. Okay. You know, this is exactly what they sent us. Then you get to here's everybody who filed, and here's what we think they should get, either zero or part or. And then we explain in the spreadsheets what we're doing, offsetting because it went to Minnesota, offsetting because they didn't pay the check off. So I kind of made them start doing that, the chart that way with a right up front, here's who filed, because I don't want any farmer to think we ignored right. what he filed. And then here's what we think they get, they don't get.
Okay, and that makes sense. I just wanted to understand what the rationale yeah. was.
I was looking at it as a judge who may just be learning the whole case from the report.
Right. And that's just what kind of we have, has become our practice. Is, like Alana said, you start with everybody, and then you go to the cash valid, the cash invalid, the credit sale valid, and then the credit sale invalid. And that
and
is
because the other one we're including everybody.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then page 7 on claimant names, on the one pay sum, mm-hmm. Lansford Dairy Inc. is there, but I don't see them on the payall. Yeah, 21I, Lansford Dairy
it's
Inc.
It's because Lansford,
they should be there.
Dairy Inc., but they should
maybe
be.
Maybe that's just a mistake from trying to do two.
It's I over, it's because on the pay sum, they're included because we're setting aside all the invalids regardless of if it's prior to the bond or if it's valid because it's non-jurisdictional. Lansford on the pay all would be in paragraph 21 because that would be the only invalid claim that we would have because that's a non-jurisdictional claim.
Okay. So it's not really a pay all. It's pay all but Lansford.
Yes. Correct. Lansford's off of both right. of them. He was just out of mm-hmm. the outside the state, basically.
Right. So 20 is
but
all valid.
You could put
I mean,
you could
still list them, right? I mean,
pardon?
You could still list him.
You could list him. Yeah, he's in the actual columns. He's just not got his own paragraph. But we could certainly do that.
It just caught my eye. Okay.
He's in 15 where everybody that filed a claim is included.
All right. Okay, and then
yeah, that might have just been from trying to juggle two.
And then I just had that thing answered all my questions I had for the differences. Just not a strategy question, but just a procedural question. Okay, so we have two orders, and I think that our general counsel and staff have an opinion on what order they like the best. If we go the other way, it would seem like it would be somehow a conflict of interest to have our general counsel defend something that maybe they wouldn't support. How would we go about that? I mean, that's a direct question. If that answer needs to be closed, we'll pick another time.
No, I have mentioned over the several times that I think that you know the commission can exercise its discretion as trustee and say in this circumstance this is the reason why as trustee we think we should pay everyone. I caution you that it be a very narrow, limited circumstance.
That's not my question, Alana.
Okay, but what I'm going to say is the basis is it's not a conflict because what I said is I think you have some discretion. I think the case law is on the other side.
and we end up going B, it would seem to me you, Hart, would not be in defending that one.
I would defend it based on what I had put in the brief, but you certainly could hire somebody outside. But I would defend it based on the fact that you chose to exercise your discretion to cover all sellers and to, as we put in the brief, the sellers of grain, and that because of this circumstance with so many claims before, you thought it was the right thing to do, as it would be a total discretion thing. And that's how I would defend it. And what I said was I don't have the case law to defend it, but I have the exercise of trustee discretion. But if you would like a different attorney to do that, you certainly could.
It's kind of like
look for one.
Find ourselves in this case a lot with rate cases and other things. And we end up, I mean, I don't know that Ryan has the time to do this, or if it's somebody in the AG's office that I'm trying to work with down there. Or we just do like you said. I think that's a separate later decision perhaps.
Yeah.
But I wanted to put it out there.
I don't see it as a conflict. It's the same as if you went to, because lawyers are going to defend their clients to the best, as aggressively as they can, to the best of their ability. And so if you said to a client, this is what I think your chances of winning are, this is what I think the law is, but if you want me to take this forward based on this rationale, I will do it for you.
Well, one thing that, and I don't know the best way to do this, but it'd be very helpful if you could prepare a document, a very straightforward document, no more than one page,
okay,
of why you feel pay some is the best case and the other one, pay all, is the best case. Because we've had a lot of discussion about it, but something a little more finer point on it.
Okay.
Because, as you know, I'm talking to people in the AG's office about this, and I'm not an attorney, so I can't explain the rationale that you're using
today
behind these two. It'd be very helpful if I could take these two orders with your specific legal rationale for both of them.
Okay.
I think that'd be very helpful.
I can do that today because I have that at my disposal. I just have to put it in the one page.
I want a book.
I understand. One page, bullet points or something. I understand.
Okay. And then to Randy's question, I bet how quick can we vote on this? I think we're getting very close. I don't think we're ready for Wednesday. But if we want to vote on to the last meeting of the month, I would commit to that. Unless there's something else that you...
Well, you know, we have to take the time that it takes to reach the best decision that we can. But if
U.S. portfolio order can advance it anytime you want.
Well, but I mean, there's three of us making the decision, and I want to be fair and make sure that everybody does get a good chance to think it through. However, if the last meeting of the month is the first time that we're ready, then that's the best time to do it. And if it can't be tomorrow, then later is the better time. But if in the meantime we could reach a decision and call a special meeting, I would rather do that because there's $70,000 that's going to go out to some group of farmers, and they could just as well have it sooner rather than later.
I'm open to that. I think that, yeah, that's fair.
I think it's a matter of as soon as we get the information we're looking for.
Because the last meeting we had, we didn't have this prepared quite like this. This has been very helpful. So now this, based on the discussions I've already had, plus your pages, I think I'll make a decision. Now, Julie, you've, I think, made your position known, and I don't know if that's changed at all. But
no, I'm still okay. Pretty solid on where I was the last time we talked.
Do you want any changes to this, the changes you've talked about, so that you have a packet that you think reads better in today? I mean, we could do that today if you needed it.
Speaking for myself, if whatever way I would end up going, I want that order to be the best it can be.
Okay. I think they're both the best they can be. We work pretty hard to get them right.
But that's the question in both of them, though. I just sometimes, you know, like when we get our telecom orders, we closed a lot of windows in those things. We write them up really tight. Mm-hmm. And these I don't know grain law as well as other stuff, but it doesn't seem like they're as tight. Both of them.
Okay. You're doing two different things here. In an order, you are deciding between two people, okay? And so you're going to explain. If there's any question, and most of them maybe are no-brainers, there's no question. But a lot of them, you're going to explain how you decided for A instead of B. You're not doing that in this. You are taking a position. You are telling yourself, I'm either A or I'm B. Okay? And then you're producing it. Now, this is completely tight as far as all the procedures we followed that are required by law, how we got this far. We did everything we were supposed to do to be trustee. We did everything we were supposed to do to look at claims. Here's what we think with those claims. And there's lots of information. What there is not a lot on is this issue between whether you want to be A or you want to be B. But that's never in any one of our orders. It just isn't. It comes up if challenged, then we defend it. We had 2 days of trial on some of those things in Grabansky. But we didn't have anything about any of that except this little list in the report that first went to the judge, because you see if it's challenged.
So that's what the difference in giving the commissional technical deference on something is different than what might be viewed here on a commission decision.
Exactly. And there is nothing in either one of these orders that leaves any factual question open, I don't believe. We covered the facts the way we always do, and we're sure that anything we said here, we can get on the witness stand, Tim, and we can defend the numbers and why they fell one place or another.
That's where your one-page executive summary on
yes.
the functional difference of that
yes.
one point.
Yes.
I think it becomes,
because that'll
be
so, now for one or the other.
Yeah.
It's not in here.
It's not in here, exactly.
But that's, I understand.
It's like never in there.
Right, it's never in there. Because
it's not an issue right. that you're fighting out. People aren't coming to you and making this argument, then you have to explain it. You're maybe between yourselves, you're thinking it through, but I don't know how else to explain.
It's the foundation for the decision. And
yes.
The decision is this.
Yes.
Well, those foundations might be in the record on other cases. And here we don't. I see.
Yes, and you have to pick them, and you have to justify what you did. If the court gets an objection and resolves it, that court decision is going to explain, like in Grabansky, why.
But basically,
I
those
didn't
two positions papers that you're putting together, those would be the basis that you would defend the order.
Yes,
that's the
that
part.
Would be the basis.
Include a findings of fact,
yep.
and conclusion.
Right,
of law.
That's what the judge will do
yeah.
if there's an objection.
Okay.
And you may not get an objection. Either way, you may not get an objection.
Right.
All right. Commissioner, anything else?
Nothing for me.
I have nothing. Portfolio holder?
Nothing, but if I can just be kind of kept up to date when everybody's ready to vote, so we can maybe try and get a meeting.
I would say
regardless
that
of what
Alana
the
will
vote
give,
is.
You'll give that to all three of us. Mm-hmm, that's what
sure.
it's got to be. And then I would say that you just put it in the calendar. You know, I don't know about a special meeting, but I guess I would let you know if I'd want to do a special meeting. But I know for sure, we're sure we should put it on for the next meeting. If you want to do one ahead of time, we'll see, I guess. Okay. All right, going once, going twice. All right, we'll close the work session on case number GE 11-51. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Shorten.